Right. A covered person would be someone who is subject to supervisory authority of the CFPB. They've got authority to supervise covered persons and their service providers. That's going to be an important distinction as we continue talking here today. The enforcement authority extends beyond that and can be anyone who violates one of the enumerated consumer financial protection laws. And while supervisory authority over service providers extends to service providers to covered persons, a person that's providing services to a financial institution can directly violate the law and be subject to enforcement authority. For example, the CFPB has the authority to prosecute unfair, deceptive, or abusive acts and practices, and a person can, as a service provider, directly violate that stricture by providing substantial assistance, for example, to somebody else who is committing a UDAP.
Great. So, Donna, can you then, so that's the background of sort of where we are now. So what is it that's going on recently or that we've seen recently that sort of suggests to you that the Bureau is actually looking at expanding its role in policing non-depository, non-traditional markets?
Sure. And I think we have a slide coming up, really, that talks about Rohit Chopra has been in place not quite a year. It'll be, I think, September 21st, you know, very soon will be his one-year anniversary, and this sort of shows the activity that he's done in 1 year, and this is pretty aggressive. And, you know, to your point, where he has added on, I mean, you know, banks, yes, but this goes, he's really focused on two things. One is sort of certain types of products, like you said, payday lending. They're very focused on fees and hidden fees, and that's not just banks, but it may be credit cards or loans or things that you're getting through non-banks where you sign up and it all goes to the, you know, and we'll get into the who is the reasonable consumer, which is the definition, and, you know, who decides that? The CFPB decides who the reasonable consumer is, not necessarily the business. So they're also looking, you know, at areas outside of traditional banking, and you know, again, I know we'll talk about it, but they've reached out to the big tech companies. They've reached out, you know, and are looking at anyone really who touches a payment, whether it's through a bank, whether it's through an application, whether it's through a loan or a credit card, whether it's, and consumers, I don't think, realize this. You know, if you use your Apple Pay, if you use Google, if you use something else, somewhere in that chain, it goes through a bank. It has to, and that makes them subject to the liability. And you know what we've seen on here is really the CFPB is now reaching out to these entities. Yes, the banks. Yes, the fintechs because they touch it. Yes, the big tech companies because they're involved. Looking at not just payments but debt collection. You know, nobody's saying you can't collect a debt, but you can't harass somebody when you're collecting a debt. You know, again, the hidden payments. I think some of the other big things really, and we'll talk about it now, is the they just expanded who they can look at under the reasonable cause clause, which takes them even further because before it used to be the service provider for a specific act or service or product, and now it's really a more general, if we think you're a danger to a consumer in this process, we can come look at you. And, you know, that's a very, very broad interpretation. And as David said, you know, that entity can say, you know, we don't think that's true. We'd like a hearing. And the CFPB will say, okay, you can have a hearing. No, we still think it's true. And then there's no more appeal process. So, I mean, we can dive in a little deeper, but I think, you know, to the extent you can look at that, just the amount of announcements and actions that they've taken in less than a year really shows that this is not a, we're looking at what the banks just do and trying to protect around that. This goes about seven concentric circles outside.
And I don't believe they've actually exercised the reasonable cause authority yet. They've just announced in a press release that they remember that they have the authority to do so and they intend to do so at some point, but they're getting around to it.
Right. I mean, I think it came out in April, so it's relatively soon. And, you know, and I think we were talking last night about staffing to do all this. There's a huge agenda. It's unclear sometimes what their priorities are. But they're there, and, you know, likely they'll find somebody. They'll make a poster child, and that will sort of cause others to stand up and take notice that, you know, their compliance programs need to be stood up more, because if they do get the knock on the door, they need to be ready.
So just sort of following that through, so what's the consequence of being deemed, you know, a reasonable cause entity, right? I mean, like, what happens if you, and this is to either of you, but what is it that happens if the Bureau, you know, issues you a notice that says, congratulations, you've been selected for reasonable cause supervision? Like, what follows from that?
They will come in and they will examine you, and they have the ability now to look at your books and records. And, you know, again, while maybe they haven't done it yet, I think the expectation is they will look at you through the same lens that they look at other entities that are involved, you know, whether it's the bank or the bank service provider. And do you have the right policies and procedures and protections in place? And it doesn't just have to be, you know, from an AML's perspective, from a sanctions perspective, from a, you know, a credit lending perspective, right? Because there's always this balance of, you should be lending and giving products to consumers, but, you know, but you shouldn't do it, if you're a bank, to the default where you're impacting safety and soundness, right? You're always balancing these considerations. But when they come in, they'll look at that. But it'll also be, what's your data security, right? And we've seen them do that, because if you're collecting consumer data, even though, you know, that does nothing to do with the financing, is it protected enough? They went after Equifax, I think, in 2019, because they didn't have the right compliance protections around their program to protect the consumer in all the aspects that they think the consumer should be protected. And so it really, I think,